So if you weren't here this right around 10 o'clock when we began the service with some announcements, there are some coloring sheets and crayons on the back wall there between the two doors. There is an age limit of 31, so anybody over that, you're just going to have to listen, pay attention. Sorry about that. So I won't be offended if you slip out and get some of those during the message. Before that, I want to read a passage of Scripture that this message will be somewhat, although loosely based on. I'll be right up front. This will be more of a devotional than a full-fledged sermon, because I know you want to hear the testimonies and get to the baptism, which is also why I'm doing this first, because I know you won't listen to me if we did this the other way around. So Philippians 3:7-14, Paul the Apostle writing to the church in Philippi. He says, "Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage." I don't know the original Greek. That might be a nice, gentle word. "That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." At the funeral, Jim Leverett's funeral on Friday, some of us pastors were talking about the last few weeks, the shock of Jim's passing, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. We kind of got off on a negative foot and we kind of commiserated with each other to some degree. And many of us are pretty glad 2017 is over. The words, "forgetting what is behind," came up in the conversation. How many of you are glad to see the back end of 2017? Anybody here happy to flip the calendar? There's another verse that I like to use during years and experiences like this. It's a Christmas verse. It's about as out of context as forgetting what is behind, but it's, "And it came to pass." And then I always add, "Thank goodness it didn't come to stay." Some things are, we can just say, "It came to pass." Some of us might be sort of wanting to sing a psalm of lament. However, some of you, how many of you, 2017 was a banner year? There's some people over here who should be putting up their hands, I know. Births, weddings, amazing trips, graduations, great health. The call to worship was from Psalm 105. And some of you, that's your psalm. "Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts." Some of you, that's your 2017. Here's a little take-home idea. We're gonna, if you stick around and play games, you can do this. Add this game to your list. If you go home, you can do this. I know some of you already do this in your homes already. It's called the high-low game. And all you do is you just say to each other, sometimes it's about just the day that you've had. Sometimes it's about the week before. What's a highlight of your day or your week or 2017? And what's a low point? The high-low game, right? That's something you could do over coffee with a friend or just while visiting as well. One of my favorite quotes begins a book. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Both are true very often, and we can share both of those things. But here's the really important question that I want you to reflect on. That's interesting. It's good to share those things and reflect on those things. But here's the really important question. It's not what happened to you. It's not even how you felt about what happened to you. The key question I want you to reflect on is what happened in you. How did you grow this year through the highs and the lows? How did you become more like Christ or maybe less like Christ? How did you grow closer to God or maybe drift a little bit? What have you learned? How has that shaped you? So, you know, I'm not going to patent this or anything, but I mean, you could call it the high-low-grow game. High point, low point. How did you grow? How did you grow through this year? I am not a backward, reflective kind of guy, but I have learned over the years how important it is to take some time to reflect. And December 31 is a good time to do that. Reflecting on our experience is just true in general. That's why we have reasonably famous sayings like, the unreflected life is not worth living. Bonus points, anybody know who said that? Socrates. He's a pretty smart guy. Those who do not learn from history are bound to repeat it. Reflecting on life uncovers all kinds of interesting things. Like, for instance, the fact that most of us only know what we really want. And most of us only really know what really brings us joy and fulfillment in retrospect. That's easily observed when you think about it just a little bit. How many times have you thought or said, you know what I really want? You know what I think is really going to make me feel good right now is a piece of that chocolate cake or another piece of that chocolate cake. Or I'm just going to sit down and relax and watch that TV show or have another beer or buy that new dress or buy that new car. And how often after doing that do we end up with some kind of eater's or drinker's or buyer's remorse? I thought I wanted that. But now I wish I would have just resisted that. That didn't make me feel better at all. Reflecting and learning from our past helps us to learn all kinds of helpful things, like I should not eat rich foods after 8 p.m. or I will not sleep well. I should not buy groceries when I'm hungry. Sometimes it'll lead us to something more significant, like, you know, I think maybe I should just stop hanging out with that guy. Good things don't happen when I hang out with that guy. Or something that I have told my kids, not at all learned through experience, nothing good happens after midnight, right? On the other hand, how many times have you done something that you did not feel like doing, you did not want to do, or maybe your friend or your spouse or your parent made you do it? Like going for a run or going to bed early or diving into that project or going to church or some small group gathering. And afterwards, you thought, that was so awesome. I'm so glad I did that. Why did I not want to do that? We don't know what we really want or what's really going to bring us fulfillment or joy until after the fact most of the time. And so we can learn a lot by just reflecting on those things. That's why journaling is helpful. But for followers of Jesus Christ, remembering and reflecting is about way more than just what makes us happy or what makes us feel fulfilled. Followers of Jesus Christ need to reflect on and examine our lives Because the most important thing for Christ followers is not our happiness. It's our holiness. The most important thing is becoming more like Christ. By the way, happiness and holiness are not opposite words, as much as we might think they are, thinking in advance. In the rearview mirror, you know that the more you become like Christ, the more you are filled with His Spirit, the more you experience the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Guess what? That's joy and peace and love and contentment. Joy and peace aren't really the goal. They're the byproduct of becoming more like Christ and spending more time with God. What is going to happen here a little later when these people become baptized is a reminder to all of us who are followers of Jesus of what we are to do and strive for every day, which is to die to self and to become like Christ, new creations. In Philippians 3, Paul uses those words, forgetting what is behind. And I've spent all this time talking about remembering what is behind. So what's the deal with that? I'm glad you asked. Using the words forgetting what is behind as an excuse or a proof text to say, I don't need to think about the past. I can just avoid the past, is like saying the words in the Christmas story, and it came to pass, is about the same thing as about just saying it came to pass. Ignore it. It's convenient, but it's not at all what the author intended. When you read Philippians 3, Paul has just gone through a laundry list of the past. He's reflected on the past. And Paul, in other places and in his other letters, encourages people to remember the past, to remember what Christ has done, to remember who they were. Remember who you were before you came to Christ, he talks about in 1 Corinthians 1. And Scripture is full of the word remember. Remember. Remember what the Lord has done. Do not forget. Do not forget who God is. Do not forget where you've come from, who you are. In Philippians 3, forgetting what is past and pressing forward is actually all about this goal of becoming more like Christ. Paul reflects on his past and he considers it rubbish compared to what he is called to. He says he wants to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of him. And what is that? What's the goal? That's in the previous verse. That I may know Christ. Not know about Christ. That I may know experientially and deeply Jesus Christ. All of Christ. You know, His power, the power of His resurrection. But also His suffering. Becoming a follower of Jesus. Praying the sinner's prayer. Even getting baptized is not the end of the journey or the ultimate goal. Any more than a wedding is the ultimate goal or the end of a marriage. It's just the beginning. It's an important step, but following Jesus is taking another step of obedience and another step and getting to know Him more and understanding His love deeper. And to know how to become more like Christ, we need to look back and reflect. We need to do that with Jesus. So a couple of weeks ago, Ben Toms talked about an ancient spiritual practice called the examine, which is not the exam, it's different, the examine. Basically, the examine is just looking back at your day with Jesus. It's like sitting on the couch and watching the highlights on your TV of your day with Jesus by your side and talking about it. That's all an examine is. The highs and the lows and the grows with Jesus. It's about looking back and going, when did I feel Jesus walking with me? When was I conscious of him? And when did I completely forget all about him? When during my day was Jesus pleased with me? And when was he not so pleased with me? The best way to know how we need to grow, or even how we are growing, isn't always to read a scripture or listen to a sermon and then think in the future what I might do differently, theoretically, hypothetically, in the future. Often the best way is to look back and see what has actually happened in my life in the past. That, by the way, is actually why job interviews have changed over the years. Lots of times job interviews in the past were, if this happened to you, what would you do? And I get to make up a response. Well, hypothetically, theoretically, I would do this amazing thing. Now job interviews say, tell me about a time when this has happened to you. Because that's far more predictive of what you'll do in the future, is what you've done in the past. And you will learn way more about a candidate by how they have responded than what they tell you they would do in the future. So looking back at your day with Jesus, reflecting on your life, you might realize some things. Besides the obvious times when you were clearly saying, not thy will, but mine be done, you might realize some things you've been blind to. You might realize there are times when you were putting other things ahead of God, and you had never seen that as a problem. You might realize there are times when you might need to say no to something or someone, when in the moment you thought you should say yes. I have realized, looking back and reflecting on my life, that I find it far more difficult to say no to a person and disappointing them than I do to say no to God. And sometimes I have essentially said no to God by taking on extra things because I just can't bear to disappoint that person. Their approval of me in that moment is far too important. Looking back at your day with Jesus, you might be surprised at how near God felt to you when you were doing things that you might not have thought were particularly spiritual. You might realize that you actually pray the best and the most fervently while you're walking and not kneeling. You might realize that some of your most intense and wonderful experiences of God's presence and blessing were while you were engaged with a conversation with your neighbor. As you look back on your day with Jesus, and maybe even more so as you look back on your year with Jesus, you may also be surprised at when you grew the most, or when you experienced God's power the most. I think we know this, we don't like it, but we tend to grow and learn the most through the lows rather than the highs. We tend to learn the most through our mistakes than we do through our successes. Pain generally is more effective at driving us to God than pleasure. Years ago, I heard about a group of Christian youth workers who got together once a year, had a big staff retreat, and during that time they always had a time of sort of highs and lows. What are you most thankful to God for in the last year? And how can we be praying for you? What are you wrestling with in the next year? And they discovered over the years a pattern that what I need you to pray for me right now, what I'm struggling with, the challenge that I'm dealing with right now, became next year's praise item for how God met me and worked through that. That's often the case. And to bring things full circle, we started talking about reflecting on 2017 and whether we're happy to turn the page on it or not. When you view the year that was through the lens of where did God meet me the most? Where did I learn and grow the most? Then maybe if you feel like 2017 is a year you'd like to forget because it was difficult, that may be a clue that it's a year that you need to remember and reflect on and dig into a bit. and rejoice in how God met you, provided for you, carried you, and how you learned and grew. If it's a year that you look back on with tremendous celebration and thankfulness, it's also really important to spend some time reflecting on that and thanking God and praising Him. Just because it isn't natural for us to return thanks to God and give Him credit for those good times, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. In fact, we probably should do it even more. I'm just going to close in prayer, and then when I'm done, I'm going to invite the baptism candidates to come up and grab a hold of this mic, and they're going to share their testimonies. Heavenly Father, you are the author of all things. You are the giver of all good gifts, and you are sovereign. However it is that you lead and direct and everything that happens in the world, whether you know the Calvinists are right and everything that happens is your will, or the Arminians are right and we truly have free will and you just know in advance, or you know, Joel is right and we don't know. Lord, we just pray that we just know that you're in charge. Nothing happens that you aren't aware of. You direct things so that we can learn and grow, and you walk with us. And so, as we look back on the year that was, the good and the bad, help us to see your hand in it. Help us to trust you for the things that don't make any sense. Help us to learn and grow through the highs and the lows. Help us to press forward to take hold of that which you took hold of us. Help us to become more like you. Help us to allow your Spirit to control us more and more and grow your fruit in us and produce fruit in us by your power. So we thank you for the year that was. And we trust you for the year ahead. And we pray now that you would, again, just encourage and bless these young people as they come and share, and encourage us as we hear them. In your name, amen.